Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Pamela Villarreal is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Pamela is a Senior Policy Analyst for the National Center for Policy Analysis, NCPA. We know those guys, right? Terry Neese, Pete DuPont, Bob McTeer, you know, all those guys over there, and John Goodman. I mean, they're all friends of ours, and we've been talking to those guys for a long time. Pamela is our newest friend at NCPA, and she's here to talk to us about the new Credit Card Act, which just went into effect in the last few days. Pamela, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. You're part of a long list of good friends from NCPA.
That's good to know.
Yeah. In fact, Bob McTeer, one of your distinguished fellows, and I are going to be on the stage later today talking about the economy. So I'm looking. Bob's been a friend of ours for a long time, so I'm looking forward to seeing him again and doing some work with him later today. So
well,
that'll
great.
Be a lot of fun.
He's good to have on stage with you. So
he's a good man.
Right.
Pam, the Credit Card Act went into effect, what, a week ago Monday?
It went into effect Monday, the 22nd.
This Monday. Okay, well,
right.
this week. I couldn't remember. Now, tell the audience what caused Congress to think that they needed to do this.
Well, let me just give you my take on why this was passed. You know, obviously, people for many years have sometimes had issues with banks over credit cards and you know, late fees and interest rates and so on and so forth. Typically in Congress every year, there's an industry, what I call an industry du jour, that they target. It might be
right.
One particular year, it might be, say, big box retailers, or it might be
right.
Big pharmaceuticals.
Right.
I think this year with the, especially over the past, actually the last year, with the anger at banks,
mm-hmm.
I think that this was a measure designed to kind of send a message to consumers that, hey, we're populist and we're on your side and we're not going to let these banks bully you with these credit card maneuvers.
Right.
So I think there was kind of that anti-bank sentiment that...
Well, you know, all of us, Pamela, all of us have felt like we've gotten beat up by credit card, by being overcharged for a fee or for an exorbitant interest rate that we didn't know we were paying. And I think there is some populist ire out there, and I think that they tried to tap into that, didn't they?
Right. Absolutely. I'm not saying that credit cards or companies are always, you know, they're always evil or they're always good. But, yes, I think there's people out there that have had issues, and so this was kind of a good time, especially with the anti-bank sentiment, for the government to pass some legislation that would try to be consumer friendly.
Right. So they passed this bill. Their desire was to basically, one of the problems we've got with Congress, it seems to me, Pamela, is that every time they hear of some constituents being upset, they think that if they don't do something, the constituents will be upset at them. And
true.
So they feel like we better get something done here, or we're going to get blamed for not doing anything. So then they get busy. They pass a law that they think covers their backside.
Right.
But it often, instead of fixing what was wrong, it often exacerbates that, doesn't it?
Right. Oftentimes laws are passed in kind of a knee-jerk fashion, and there's not really a lot of time given to analyze and to assess and to look at data and to decide, well, what are going to be the unintended consequences of this new law?
Right.
And that's what I think might be happening with the credit card law.
One of the classic examples, Pamela, is Sarbanes-Oxley.
Oh, right.
That was
right.
passed in about 90 days, And it rippled through the entire capital market, all the, you know, through corporations and all the way down eventually to smaller businesses. And so, and that was a very unfortunate law that was a knee-jerk reaction to Enron and Tyco and all that kind of stuff. And that was a perfect example. But do you think that this credit card thing could be on that level?
Well, let me give you a couple points as to what it covers first. It's designed to be more consumer-friendly. And one thing that this credit card law does is when you get your statement, it will spell out how much it would cost for the recipient to how much it would cost to pay the balance if you just paid the minimum every month. I think some people will pay the minimum and don't think about all the interest that's compounding on that. So, you know, this
They don't realize if they pay the minimum, it'll take 198 years to pay off
exactly.
a $3,000 balance.
So this, to me, might be a wake-up call, and it's probably a good form of disclosure. And also, I know there have been complaints about interest rates being raised retroactively. This law prevents retroactive interest rate raises on your existing balance.
Right.
So if you've been paying off your balance, they can't raise your interest rate on that balance. They could possibly do it on new charges, but not
right.
on existing charges. Except
now that those things don't sound egregious, do they?
No.
Those kind of make sense.
Right. And, the exception is if you're very late, like 60 days past due, they can raise your rate. But once you've been paying regularly for 6 months, they have to lower that rate again. So there's a lot more disclosure. If they make any changes to your account, they have to give you a 45-day notice. Once you get your statement, your due date cannot take place until 21 days after the bill closing date. So,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of advance notice for things. There's a lot more disclosure. One of the problems that comes into play here, though, is that this law is designed to save consumers about $10 billion a year. So what that means is that banks will not be getting $10 billion a year in fees that they would normally
right.
get. So
right.
they're going to find other ways to charge fees. And what will likely happen, and I think is happening already, is that people that have good credit are going to start paying an annual fee on their credit card, whether or not they use it.
They're going to these things are not zero. These decisions, these actions are not zero sum games. They create winners and losers, and as we talked about earlier, unintended consequences. And we'll come back after these messages. We're going to get Pamela Villarreal to give us some more information about how this new law could potentially hurt you and how you need to be paying attention to your own credit card stories and how it may affect your customers, too. 20 after. Stay with us. Back, it's 23 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blassingame, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out and using it to your advantage. We built it for you. Hope you'll check it out, and if you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. Use our stuff. No barrier to entry at all. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter also while you're there. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Pamela Villarreal is with us, folks. Pamela is Senior Policy Analyst for National Center for Policy Analysis, ncpa.org, right, Pam? Pam, are you there?
Yes.
ncpa.org, that's the website?
Yes, that's correct.
And tell us about NCPA.
Well, we are a nonprofit, nonpartisan think tank. We are a supporter of the free market. So what we do is provide research and information. Basically, we try to solve these policy issues with a free market approach, and we do everything from healthcare to economic growth to the environment to retirement issues.
And your founder, John Goodman, was basically the father of the medical savings account, which became the health savings account.
That's right, yes. He invented the health savings account, and we were also behind the passage of the Roth IRA as well.
Right, Right. So a lot of good policy, a lot of good ideas there at the NCPA. So check it out, ncpa.org. Pamela, you were telling us about the Credit Card Act that passed this Monday, and some of the you mentioned a few things in the last segment that were probably good ideas, but actually the end result is it pulled a lot of money out of the banks' bottom line because of would you say $10 billion?
Right.
And nobody out there listening right now is having any kind of pain or grief for the banks.
Right.
So a lot of people are saying, well, that sounds like a good idea, but what you're saying is there may be some unintended consequences. Talk
right.
to us about that.
Well, basically what this law does is, and let me add another point here, is it prevents banks from pricing risk appropriately. For an example of this will be their subprime credit cards. And, of course, they're designed for people that have less than stellar credit. And typically there's some upfront fees that they pay in order to get this credit card. Well,
right.
Now there's a restriction on how much those fees can be. So what could happen
which is an assault on pricing risk.
Right. Another thing that has occurred is that the first year you apply for a credit card, the first year you have your account, they cannot raise your interest rate. So, you know, oftentimes you get in the mail some applications that have introductory interest rates.
Right.
Well, if the bank cannot extend that interest rate for an entire year, they probably won't offer it. Sometimes introductory rates are good for, say, only 6 months. Well, they will
right.
be prohibited from doing that. So what you'll see is you'll see some of these specials go away. You will see more difficulty in probably people with less than stellar credit trying to get credit cards. Another thing, too, is these laws do not apply to corporate credit cards. But for small business owners, I've read that about half of them use their personal credit cards for capital
expenditures. And Pamela, that's where the lion's share of the startup capital of us comes from, is from the personal credit, oftentimes credit cards, of the founder.
Right. So what you might see is that if a small business obtains a credit card, then it's going to be maybe more expensive to have it. And also,
yep.
while this law does have some caps on fees, it does not prevent the bank from issuing whatever interest rate it wants to. So, you know, you might see interest rates go up on new credit cards or, on new purchases. So what this is going to do is make it a lot more expensive for really anybody to obtain credit. But especially,
well, and it's going to make it not only expensive, it's going to make it it's going to make it harder to get for those people who are a little riskier. And you know, even though, you know what, folks, if you've got a questionable credit rating, if you've got not a lot of income, but you just want a little bit of credit, maybe a few hundred dollars to be able to rent a car with, or, you know, buy a meal out or whatever, or tide you over until you get paid, if that's where you are, if those are your circumstances, the risk that people take and loan you that money, they have to recapture that. Banks have to do that.
Exactly.
Pamela, they have to do that if they're making a small business loan. Every small business pays more than prime because we're a higher risk. And when the government legislates that away from the banks, they're not going to make the loans.
Right. And you had mentioned how this might affect customers. Well,
right, quickly.
You know, anecdotally, I've had friends tell me, well, if they start slapping me with an annual fee, I'm just not going to use a credit card.
Right.
So you might see a decline in purchasing power as people, you know, try to get up the cash to buy something as opposed to using a credit card and giving themselves, you know, a month or a couple months to pay it out.
Our Congress thinks that the marketplace works the way they see it on paper. And the paper is one-dimensional, the marketplace is three-dimensional, and they just don't get it, Pam. Pam, give us the website again, please.
It's www.ncpa.org.
ncpa.org, Pamela Villarreal. Thanks, Pamela. Will you come back another day?
Oh, I'd love to.
Say hi to my friends there at NCPA.
I sure will.
We'll see you next time. Pamela Villarreal, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back. I will be, too, after these messages, 29 after. Stay with me.
You take away the
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.